Well, that was short. You reckon we got enough money in the plates? Maybe we ought to pass them again. I didn't hear anybody vote for that, but all right, just relax. Unbuckle your seatbelt. Things may get worse. Open your Bibles. Guess where? Book of Revelation, still chapter 17. I'm going to make a big effort. Didn't say I'm going to do it, but I'm going to make a big effort to finish up chapter 17 this morning. And just so much, we can't say it all, and the temptation, especially I guess for an old preacher, is just to keep on saying more and more. But we have come to a day and age, we've lost our freedom of speech in America. Folks, that's one of the great freedoms you are going to miss. You're going to find out sometime you're breaking the law and you don't even know it because they changed the law. When you have a bad law, you create lawbreakers. And that's exactly what is going on in our nation. And even as a church, in fact, I think even targeted because we are a church, we are being spied on, monitored. And you see a little glimpse of it in the news. There's one or two commentators on Fox News that you better pray for because they're after them. They're after Tucker Carlson because he's been exposing some stuff. And so they find a way. You know, a great well-known criminal like Al Capone, they didn't actually get him for his crimes. They got him for tax evasion. Remember? Part of President Trump's problem was his transparency. They took and spun it and changed it and used it against him. And so today we're in the Bible age, what the Bible predicts, where our good is evil spoken of. And also where they will call evil good and good evil. Isaiah spoke to that. So we are told by the Lord Jesus Christ we're to be wise. Be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Sadly, sometimes we Christians become the most gullible people on planet Earth because we have good motives and good intentions trying to follow the book, and the people use that against us. That is sad, but that is a reality. So all of that is building up to what we're studying about here in the last chapters now of the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and 18 in particular. Chapter 17 here, God is beginning to fight back, as it were, a war between the kingdoms, the Antichrist kingdom and God's kingdom. Jesus is getting ready here in these next few chapters. It'll culminate in chapter 19, where he'll come back on the white horse of heaven, leading the armies of heaven, with eyes of fire and feet of brass and hair white as wool and all that, with a two-edged sword that goes out of his mouth, and he'll set up his kingdom on planet Earth. So it's a war of kingdoms that we're really studying about here in these chapters. And I've spent a lot of time in chapter 17, and yet, quite frankly, not said hardly half of what I feel like ought to be said about it. But we remember back in chapter 15 and 16 how we got a glimpse of God having seven angels fixing to pour out the vials of his wrath upon planet Earth on the Antichrist kingdom. Back in chapter 13, we find where the Antichrist, the false prophet, points to him, and the Antichrist is worshipped by the whole world, and he brings in his number system. And without that number, no man can buy or sell. We are very close to that right now. I even heard a hint in the news that the Biden administration is talking about now maybe you ought to have a vaccine passport to move from one state to the other, to cross the state line. Anybody else hear that? That's being considered. I saw where he was considering whether or not he could mandate above our governor and prevent our governor from not making all the school kids wear masks and stuff. Now, that means our rights are just about gone if that can happen. The Antichrist kingdom will take all those rights. You'll be a dictator. His number is given to us. And here's the thing. Folks will explain, you know, when the order comes out, I believe the saved folks will be gone, but maybe not by much. And the order will come out, you got to have this mark. And people will explain it away. Well, that's the mark of the beast. No, it's not. Y'all, you Christians, you just, no, it's not. Right? It'll hit them between the eyes. In fact, they'll get stamped between the eyes and still say it's not the mark. That's the attitude that we got prevailing now in the society that we hear so much about. Well, in chapter 17 and chapter 18, two cities are on the front burner. And yet it's not two cities. It's two, what we might call two phases or two descriptions of one city. And there's a lot of debate among theologians and good Bible students, good Bible believers about these cities. The city is named Babylon. Babylon means confusion. It is a system that has been against God since it was first introduced in the Bible. First leader of Babylon was Nimrod. He was called a mighty hunter before the Lord. There's a lot of history that you can read about him. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, and when you really get down to the mark of the beast and the sign of the Antichrist, I said something about this the other week, and I won't say much about it right now, but Nimrod was a rebel against God. The city of Babel that God confused the language and had to destroy. He was the first leader, we'd call him first king of Babylon. We'll get to the kingdoms as they're listed here. I won't go through it because it'd take too long, but in the book of Daniel, you find most of them. And you find the world has been ruled by one kingdom after another. And these kingdoms all finally melt together and become the Antichrist kingdom that we see advancing, the one that the Lord Jesus will have to replace and have to win over at the Battle of Armageddon. But Nimrod, known as a rebel, if you want to study him deep, and there's a lot of good writings on it, history books. You know, a lot of what used to be history is almost banned now. Rejected, banned, distorted, perverted. In our schools and everywhere else. But oftentimes the older preachers and the older Bible believers would refer to Nimrod as the rebel against God, and he would be the epitome of what the Antichrist will be. Remember, we studied through the early chapters of the book of Revelation. We believe the rapture takes place probably about chapter 4, verse 1. We're not there yet. We're close. Could be today. Could be next week. Could be a while, but it won't be long. And the Lord will call his bride home. Following that, we see scenes taking place in heaven where John is caught up as a type of the church to heaven in chapter 5. In chapter 6, he took the seven seal book from the hand of him that sat on the throne. He begins to open the seals in chapter 6. The first seals that show up, opened, are identified and pictured by horsemen. We've all heard, and there's a lot of literature written and novels written about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And even songs written about it and stuff. But as the horsemen begin to ride in chapter 6 of the book of Revelation, the first one that shows up is a white horse. And a lot of errors have been made because Jesus will finally show up on the white horse of heaven. The first white horse in Revelation 6 is a counterfeit Jesus. He's the Antichrist. And one of the identifying marks there, or that first seal, that first white horse, is how the Antichrist comes in. He comes in by peace. He comes in voted in, so to speak, in a voting system that's highly corrupted, but he comes in voted in. And he'll come in under the sign of the peace. Does anybody remember the peace sign? Long time ago. Remember the peace sign? Remember the peaceniks? We called them the peaceniks. The broken cross. Remember all that stuff? Well, when the Antichrist comes in, and you watch the news today and see if you spot anybody with this sign I'm fixing to show you, Two fingers up, one bent just a little bit. Bless you. Right? You never seen that? Bless you, my brother. Watch out. The Antichrist has a religious side to him. The false prophet points to him and says he's the man. And you'll be surprised how many folks will still fall for that. The blessing. Watch out for it. I spoke a little bit about it last week, how that when one pope produced the body of another pope, dressed him in his royal clothes, dug him up out of the ground, set him on the platform, and had a mock trial and accused him, the last thing he did to that skeleton before he disrobed him and buried him again was cut off three of his fingers. Now, that's history. I didn't make that up. That's not in the Bible, but you can go back and study it. It's all there. It's all there. I'm saying to you, all that much of history is accumulating now to its end, to its conclusion, here in the book of Revelation. And things that, so to speak, been right under our nose for a long time, you get in trouble by identifying today. I might have gotten in trouble over just what I said right there. Who knows? But anyway, I better move on before I get in deeper trouble. Two cities or one city. I believe it's one city in chapter 17 and 18, and we have two different descriptions. I'll get verse by verse here in a minute, but let me say this. Of those descriptions, you find that in the first identifying of the city here in chapter 17, you find the ecclesiastical or the religious side of the city. They are accused by God of shedding the blood, verse 6 of chapter 17. This woman, this picture of this woman, this harlot woman on the beast, drunken with the blood of saints, which is the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered. John was shocked because this religious nature of this thing, a false church, if you can want to call it that. And he marveled, and the angel asked him in verse 7, why did you marvel? And we move on down through that, and then we have him saying in verse 9, here's the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman city identifies the city geographically. So we find out in chapter 17, a city pictures on setting on seven hills. History tells us about the seven hills. And it's a religious side of the city. Now, if you got a Scofield Bible, and I recommend you have one as a study Bible, it's got good notes in it. Not 100% accurate, because no man is totally accurate, no man's totally perfect, but very good. And in the notes of Scofield on these chapters here in Revelation, you'll read where he points out that one city is ecclesiastically a city, and the other one is a commercial city. And he kind of hints also that maybe they're the one and the same. Clarence Larkin is a great prophecy writer. Draws his pictures and diagrams. We use his book in college. Again, not perfect, but helps you to see when he draws out some of this stuff. And Clarence Larkin has the pretty much the same position as Scofield on these cities. Now, I agree that the city here is religious. And then we get into chapter 18, and if we look at history a little bit and look at the world today, we also see that it's commercial. And somebody's made the statement so accurately in our day and time, if you don't understand something, look for the money behind it. Almost every time, that'll give away the motive of what's going on. By the way, a whole lot of the COVID thing is the money behind it. If they had not started opening the common treasure of the people and paying off on COVID, it would have passed a long time ago. It's big business now. I mean, you got companies opening up to make the mask. You got the hospitals getting certain money for those that diagnose positive. If you want to corrupt something, put some money in it. That's the human nature of man. That's why the 10th commandment says, thou shalt not covet. Because man's human nature is to covet. And his human nature is to grab all he can get, and it doesn't matter who else he has to take it from. That's a sad commentary on our depravity, folks, but it's the truth. I often tell the story about how it's born in kids. Tell the story about two little boys trying to ride the same tricycle. One of them was overheard to say, "If somebody would get off, I could ride it better." That's our nature. We won't be first. That's our nature. And when you get saved, you have to start going against nature. You have to start working on that bad side of the character and letting the good side that Jesus makes in you win. And that's a challenge. That goes right on up the line from the tricycle to the top government officials. There is no telling. Only God probably could tell us how much of our tax money has been wasted overseas. Going to rebuild Afghanistan. Now look what's happening. Billions. And they say when they went in and to Saddam Hussein's so-called palace and all that, that they found rooms of American hard cash stacked up in bundles like hay. Tremendous, our money. We know that during the Obama administration, they loaded up a biggest jet airplane, took the seats out and packed it with billions of cash and sent it to Iran. You do remember that, don't you? Now what's happening in Iran right now? They've turned that money into something, missiles and stuff that's going to be flying at us before long. And flying at Israel already through the Gaza Strip there. All that business, money behind it. Human nature of man. So yes, there's a commercial side. Now this city is typifying a system. Not just a one city perhaps, but representing a system, a culture that has moved into the world today. So this city sits on seven hills. I'm going to start in verse 9. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sat. So geographically we have the location. There are seven kings. Five are fallen. One is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Now the short space is probably the last 3.5 years or of the 7-year tribulation period. It's the Antichrist, this last one. Now, the seven heads are seven mountains, seven kings, five are fallen, one is. Now, I kind of went through that with you last week. If you want to do a deep study on it, I'll just give you enough to open a can of worms here and you follow up on it. But if you'll go back and start with Nimrod and count the head of all the kingdoms that rule the world and allow the Antichrist to be the final one, you'll count exactly the same number here that the Lord gives here in the text. And if you want to see a good picture of it, a really good picture of it, you go to the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 2, the king has a dream, remember? And you remember how that he sees this image, starting with the head of gold and going down to the feet and toes that are mixed with iron and clay. Remember the image? That's a picture of all the world kingdoms. You can name the rulers of those kingdoms as you go. Of course, the last one, before you get to the mixed up toes and feet, the last one was Caesar of Rome. Now, as we identified this city, and the city of Rome fits all the description here in chapter 17, seven hills, colors, same, all of this. Rome was a world kingdom. It's still referred to probably above all of the world kingdoms. It was diverse from the rest of them, Daniel said. It was a kingdom identified by iron. Rome come in when iron weapons were much stronger than the brass weapons and stuff before. And Rome ruled the world. Remember the saying, all roads lead to Rome. And all that stuff that we studied in history. Now, here's an interesting thing. While they'll try to put a date on when the kingdom of Rome ended, the Roman Empire ended, it didn't end so clear cut. It faded. And in truth, it changed its appearance. But in a sense, it went undercover. And the Roman kingdom still exists on the religious side. Not on the commercial side so much, but on the religious side. So if you want to run the into current events and current history that you and I have studied about, we find the Bible is so accurate in every detail, pinpointing this thing. And if you were to study Daniel chapter 2, I may flip over there in just a minute. Let me go a little bit further here on the verse-by-verse stuff. This verse 10 says, one's coming in a continuous short space, Antichrist, 3.5 years. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. So somebody is going to be resurrected, brought back, that existed in one of these kingdoms before. And of course, I talked to you about that. I told you who he was. Satan entered into Judas at the Last Supper. Judas was a man that was prepared for his time. The Bible says, in fact, Peter says, that when he died, when Satan forsook him, when he committed suicide, when he died, Peter says he went to his own place, to his own place. He's still in that place, and he's going to come out of that place, and the spirit of Judas is going to come back and sit in a fleshly body on a earthly throne. The world, they won't call him the Antichrist. They may even call him Christ, because he'll be a counterfeit. You and I know the Bible. We know he's the Antichrist. He's going to come back. He's going to have a seat that exists right now and be magnified at that time. And he will be in a what appears to be a fleshly body. There's a good chance it's going to be about a hybrid. You know what a hybrid is? It's a half of this and half of that. Well, there's a good chance the alien situation is going to get into this thing. So I can't get off into all that. They're going to... a little bit too much. But if somebody says, I don't read the Bible, it's dull. You're dumb if you think that. Amen. What I'm reading right here is far ahead of any show they've put on TV yet. Amen. If you really get into it, it's exciting, brother, what is ahead when you read the Word of God and study it. Notice this as we move on down. He's going to continue a short space, verse 11. The beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and of the seven, he'd be one of those kingdom rulers, and goeth into perdition. We identify Judas from John chapter 17, verse 12, how he's the son of perdition. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as of yet, when John was writing on the Isle of Patmos, not yet, but receive power as kings, 1 hour with the beast. And the beast is the head man. He's the Antichrist. And these 10 kings are going to receive power. Now, it says 1 hour. Now, compared to history, that's how short it would be, 1 hour. It'd probably be more than 60 minutes. I think it'll be 3.5 years here, according to the scale we have in the book of Revelation. But this... 10 kings are going to show up. They're going to rule with the woman, the harlot woman on the beast. They'll rule with her to start with. And it says in verse 13, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. That's Jesus, capital L. For the Lord of he is Lord of lords and King of kings. That's what the battle's over. Who's going to be King of Kings? Who's going to be Lord of Lords? Whose kingdom's going to win? And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. I want to be in that group, don't you? And this is speaking of 10 kings government-wise, 10 rulers that will rule with the harlot woman in the Antichrist kingdom. Now, there's an interesting thing on that. And I don't know, I better open it up in a few minutes here. Go with me. Turn back into the Old Testament. Go back with me to the book that runs parallel in many ways with the book of Revelation. Revelation brings the conclusion of some stuff that is first presented to us in the prophetic book of the book of Daniel. So I've asked you to go to Daniel chapter 2 with me. Daniel chapter 2. And you find it and go to chapter 2. Just get on past Ezekiel and you get to Daniel. So Daniel chapter 2, we're talking about the same kingdom. We're talking about the dream that pictured all the world kingdoms. that the king had, and Daniel is interpreting it for him. And the image from the head of gold down to the feet of toes mixed with iron and clay. And it says in verse 42 of Daniel chapter 2, "And as of the toes of the feet were part of the iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken." Now here's what I want you to get. Verse 43. "And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they," now "they" here comes back more personal, talking of people, rulers, "they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men." Now you're looking at me and I'm looking at you. You know what we are? We're the seed of men. From Adam on. "But they," the same "they" now, "they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay." Now the image, the iron and the clay don't mix. Now you can get clay on your shovel, but you can clean it off. It don't become iron, it's still clay. And so the picture here is that in that day and time, there'll be a mixture of the earthly and the weakness of clay and the strength of iron. And it's saying here that this group called "they" here, that's going to show up in these 10 kings, that they'll mingle themselves with the seed of men, natural men, but they won't mix. Now, the truth is, that tells us that these 10 kings that will come to power and rule with the religious harlot in the Antichrist kingdom are going to be more than natural men. I said the Bible gets far out. You want something exciting? Read the Bible. I used to love that little old bumper sticker. I'd see it around town on somebody's car. Pull up behind it and it'd say, "Read the Bible. It'll scare the hell out of you." That's my sentiments, but folks don't read it. They hear everything else, every kind of conspiracy, every kind of thing they can pick up, but better pick up the truth and see what God says about it. Yes, it will scare you if you're on the wrong side of things. Amen. See, what I'm teaching here bothers the fire out of some folks. To me, it's precious. To me, I'm excited it's coming. To me, I want to see God take over. I want to see his kingdom rule. I want to see the Antichrist put out. I want to see the evil of the world defeated. So it doesn't scare me. It's exciting to me that God, I say, all these bad things happening, yeah, and I hate it for the people it affects. But thank God it's a sign he's got to come and take over. Amen. So right here, 10 kings are going to show up. They're going to be more than natural men. Maybe they're going to be, I don't know if they're going to get off a spaceship. I don't know if they're going to be cloned in a tube in an laboratory, not likely, don't have much time. Well, but they're going to be something different about them. And they're going to follow the Antichrist. They're going to be his henchmen, his staff, his help, his enforcers. But now they do something strange. They start out ruling with this religious harlot riding on the beast of Revelation 17, represented by a city. But then we get down to verse 15 of Revelation 17, we just studied now, where they're going to make war with the Lamb in verse 14. The Lamb's going to overcome him. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. And in verse 15, it says, "He saith unto me," John, the revelator, says, "He saith unto me," the angel gave him the vision, "the waters which thou sawest," which are, I'm sorry, "the waters which thou sawest, where the whore setteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." So the waters are described. She's sitting on the water. She's sitting on the world. She's ruling the world here with these 10 kings. They are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. All languages, all people. By the way, did you know waters are a good picture of human life? Do you know every baby that's born has to be born through the water? We hear about a woman's water breaking and so forth. Waters are a picture here of the multitudes of people, of populations. And that picture is here. And then it says, and here's the big one as my time's about gone, verse 16. "And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the head of the beast, upon the beast, these 10 that she's ruling with, these 10 kings, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. All of a sudden, they turn on her. Now, you got the religious harlot on the beast. You got 10 kings ruling with her, under her. But something happens, and they turn on her. That is so easy to see in government rule of the world today. She will rule for a while. Her government will rule for a while with 10 kings. Apparently, their seed don't match with men, so apparently there's got some supernatural part about them. They turn on her and destroy her. And we could get into detail of what the Bible says there. It may be a lot more literal than we think. Look at it, verse 17. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. God's word is going to be fulfilled. Amen. And the final verse, the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now you pick out the city in history that's reigned over the kings of the earth. And we'll do it again in this tribulation period on the Antichrist. And these kings that she rules with are going to turn on her. We finished chapter 17 under the picture of the city being religious, because religion will help unify the world. Strange thing about mankind, no matter what he's taught in school about evolution and other things, deep in his heart, deep in the heart of every man, he knows there's a God. He may see him as a four-footed beast or whatever he's taught, a false religion. That's what they capitalize on, is that inclination, that instinct, if you please, is placed in the heart of every man that there is a God. That's why the Bible says the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. 2 times in the Bible it says that. The atheist is only mentioned twice in the Bible. Both times God calls him a fool. A fool. And truth is, when we look at creation and all of God's might and power demonstrated for us, we know there's a God. And yet here, that's what the battle is over, is who's going to be the chief God? Who's going to be Lord of Lords? Who's going to be King of Kings? And that's what the final battle is going to take place when Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom. Time's up.